Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. So here's some insight on me. Like, I love a good deal, but also I'm not about to, you know, go like wrestle a bear or something just to get a free sandwich. I mean, like, yes, I do hear where you're coming from. Free sandwich! But also just finding a bear to wrestle in the first place feels like a huge hassle. And like the same is true when it comes to switching wireless providers. Like, yes, of course I'd love to save money each month, but it sure as heck better not be hard to do that. So when Mint Mobile said it was easy to get wireless for $15 a month with the purchase of a 3-month plan, I called them on it, but it turns out it really is that easy to get wireless for $15 a month. The hardest part was being on hold waiting to break up with my old provider, but hey, double win for me because I used that time to find a bear. So now I've got all the free sandwich I need and savings on my cellular plan and a few open wounds. From the bear, not the switching. It really is that easy, though. Mint has a fantastic website. It is easy to purchase and activate. Plus, you get to bring your existing phone number and all of your contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Cut your wireless bill down to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/poppop. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on the first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions.
Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations, so if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you, and we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com. We were gonna talk about something on the pop this week, and I can't remember what it is. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Dude, it kind of feels like it's been a minute, even though, like, because we recorded two a while ago.
Yeah.
And now we're back here. Yeah.
And now we're doing it.
We're back.
We're back in the chairs. Dude, and I honestly feel as though over the past week I have been productivity.
You've been productivity?
I have been productivity.
Wow.
Like, I have just been...
You've been producing.
I've been producing in a way that I've been quite proud of. But one of the things that you and I did together just last week was we reconfigured the Super Carlin Brothers set.
We did do that. Yes. It's something we've like talked about doing forever. Even when we first moved into this office, there was this like conversation, like, should we point it at the corner or should we kind of keep to what we've been doing and point it at the wall?
Yeah.
And like, we ultimately decided, let's just keep it up as we've been doing. We'll go to the wall. Boom. And I mean, it was fine. It looked great.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been great, but like we've moved our office from, like in the modern age of Super Carlin Brothers, which I think is like since like 2015. We have been in your old house, the addition of the house. We went to our first office where we like rebuilt the set on a flat wall for the first time instead of like an angled wall shot.
And like, that was the first time we ever like truly like built the set.
Yes. Yeah. Like we went shopping at IKEA.
Yes, we did. I forgot about that. We drove to IKEA.
We had like an office like shopping trip and we like got like chairs and desks.
Oh my gosh. I'm remembering that our editor at the time was so excited to go, and then the IKEA thing happened to him while we were there where he got like extremely overwhelmed.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, like, if you haven't been to IKEA, like,
It is fun, but also look out.
It's a lot to take in.
Many decisions.
All at once. But yeah, so we built that set, and then we moved to our second office where we basically rebuilt it again, but this time the wall had like a little jut out.
Yes.
So it's always easy to tell, like when we're going back and like watching the videos, you can see like, oh, okay, I know where we were at then.
Know where we were at. That's where we had the Thanos bobbleheads on that one too.
Those
were really fun.
Those were so good. And then we moved here.
Yep.
And again, we stuck to our flat wall. And then last week we were kind of like I feel like it was just a decision that was kind of like, we're doing it. And like we took everything off the wall and was like, okay, we are
doing it.
Like now we are committed. And it's so funny because like once it's done and you've seen the new finished product, so like we filmed our first video on the new one this morning, it was like, oh my gosh, this is better. Like it just looks better. Yeah. It's so clean. It's so good. It was so terrifying to do it. But like before, like when stuff was just coming off the walls, so I was like, what are we doing right now?
Yeah, like what if we change our mind? What are we gonna do?
Or what if it changes like the whole essence of the channel, or people are like, what is going on? Like new? I don't know. It's like the idea of changing anything when not out of necessity can sometimes feel very like intimidating.
Yeah, like what are you doing? Why are you doing it? But like we basically, it's in the same room, and honestly it's the same blue wall. We're just now pointing it at the corner so you can see like the exposed brick, very much like what's behind us right now if you're watching on YouTube. And we have like a nice center line of the corner coming down, and I feel like the other set was getting a little like what felt like cluttered. And it's like, even if when you were looking at it didn't feel that way, if you were in the room there was a bunch of stuff just out of frame constantly like everywhere.
Yes,
like,
I mean
it was a cluttered room.
It was like a total just nightmare mess situation. Yeah.
So we moved the camera. We're pointing at the corner now, and we took like a very I feel like we took two approaches. One was like a very like less is more kind of approach.
Yes.
So it's like there's like a bunch of big things with like we tried to like vary as much of the textures as possible. And then we also tried to like reincorporate some past elements from like older sets back into the future.
Yeah. And that's been like another big one as well. Like we've historically like at the beginning of each year, there's like the Project for Awesome stream.
Yeah.
And we have historically like always submitted a bunch of like our prior set objects that we would like sign and stuff to like help raise money for like the charitable cause and stuff. And so like along the way, stuff has been like filtered in and out, sort of some things have been like removed because like spatially they didn't like fit in the same way as they like once did.
Right.
But I think what had like in my mind, what had slowly happened is that like we had gone through and like slowly like subbed out a bunch of objects and stuff. And we had all the rest of the stuff here in office, but it was kind of like everything made sense when you were making the decision to do it. So like at some point, you know, it was like, okay, like we'll remove the Boba Fett helmet because that one went to the charity, and then we're going to put like Bo-Katan in its place.
Right.
But it's like from the beginning, would you have put that helmet from Star Wars on the set, or was it sort of like, well, we need to fill that spot, so now we have this one,
right,
we'll put that one there? And it kind of felt like more and more objects were like falling into that category.
And then like sometimes you'll get, you know, like sometimes Hasbro will like send us like a box of stuff.
Yes.
And it'll be like, oh man, this came with like a cool action figure. And it's like, we're watching the show right now and I really like this character, so I'm going to like, can I fit it on the shelf in frame? It's like, yeah, it fits there. And it's like, so you do that, but you do that like 50 times over the course of several years. And suddenly it's like, every little nook and cranny has now been filled by a thing, and it's like
you can't quite see it.
You can't quite see it, and you don't notice it while it's happening, but then all of a sudden it's everywhere. Yeah. So yeah, but
the most interesting thing to me about it is, and this is really like why I want to talk about it, is once upon a time your former boss at the concert venue you used to work at was moving and had this really like, I mean, it's like a black pleather couch.
Yeah, it's a black pleather couch.
And so it lived at our house where we started Super Carlin Brothers together for a while, like a functional couch that we were using in our living room.
Yeah, like he was moving, and I guess they just couldn't fit the couch on whatever the moving truck was or whatever U-Haul he had. And he was just like, if anyone wants it, you know, speak up. And I was like, ooh, yeah, I'll take it. Sure. Because at the time, I think you and I had like the love sacks.
Yes. We didn't even have couches. Yeah, we just had couches.
Giant and I was like, chairs. Free couch. Absolutely. Let's get it. So I remember he sat around and waited for us for a while. And then I guess we took like 5 minutes too long to get there. And he just left. And the couch was just like
on the sidewalk. Yeah. It was about to start raining.
Yeah. So we like loaded into the truck. We got it out. We got it to the house. Yes.
Yes. And so we had it. And then when you moved out, you brought that couch with you to your new house because you guys hadn't purchased like a new couch for the new house, which you then shortly did, or you did shortly thereafter.
Yeah, boy, so, that couch I bought then needs replacing now.
Yeah, you've had three toddlers for a myriad of years now.
So I am in couch limbo right now. But when we got that couch, it was like the best couch I've ever owned. And it's still quite comfy. However, it has definitely endured three infants and many spills and many jumpings and games of Gears. And
forgot about Gears.
Yeah, you gotta love Gears. And at this point, I am in couch limbo, where part of me is like, we absolutely need to replace the couch.
Yes.
But also, if I buy another couch, is it time yet, or will it just suffer the same fate?
Right.
You know, like it should I buy a couch under the guise of this is another stopgap couch, or should I try and buy my forever couch?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cause it's like a couch is so central to like, it's like one of the main places you exist at home.
Right.
So it's like, you want it to be good, but also it's like, you do stand the risk of the inevitable drink spillage and like chips and snacks and crackers falling in.
If you get a new couch, you want to like upgrade.
Yeah, of course. Right? Yeah.
You know, this has got to be like a better couch, hopefully, which just means that if that one also needs replacing, then after that, I'll have to upgrade again. Ugh. You know,
these are the things you got to think about.
These are the things you got to think about. Yeah. So yeah, I'm like, I want a new couch, and the one we have, like it could stand replacing. But in any case, that's not the point of the story.
Yeah.
The point is the black pleather couch moved into that house with me. And once we got the new couch, it moved into the office where it became part of the background of the set.
Yes, exactly. And so this couch has been with us since 2015, I believe. Like, it's been in the backdrop of every Super Carlin Brothers video for years and years and years. And so like one of the really big like deviations, like steps that we took away, not only did we go to this angled shot, but we also eliminated the couch from the view.
The couch is not in the set anymore for the first time since like 2015.
Yes. And so this is like a really interesting one though, because I'm like, okay, now we kind of had this strange situation because like we put the couch and like, I mean, obviously couches are big, you know? So it's like, as soon as it wasn't on the set, it was like in the way.
Right.
So then it's like a situation of like, okay, couch needs to go somewhere. And it's sort of like, well, should we just take it to the Goodwill or donate it or, you know, Salvation Army or something like that. Like take it to a place, you know, just to go. But then I'm like, no, dude, this couch has half a billion views.
This house is.
Like it has been in like every video. It has so much viewership on top of it. Like it has been around.
Yeah.
I probably can't go so far as to call it a famous couch. However, it's like, it's a remarkable couch. It's done things with its life.
It has done things with its life. It's been on camera a long time. It's been there for the ride. What I especially enjoy about it is that the guy who left it to me, my former boss, I do not think was very fond of me.
Oh,
in general.
Okay. Yeah. That's
like,
too bad.
Not necessarily any fault of his own, I suppose, but like,
but you'd rather be doing your YouTube channel than your job.
Absolutely. Well, when he got hired there, like I was already working there and I was 23 and I was the marketing coordinator at the building, and he got hired to be the assistant general manager and he was 23.
Oh gosh.
And so it was like, you know, he was like the company like Wunderchild or whatever, you know, it was like three rungs up, and like his office was directly across from mine.
Okay.
And like, but like, just almost never talked to me. Like, you
no
know,
way.
Not a lot. Yeah.
It was not a big staff.
Not, to I mean, never yeah. speak to I mean, you. To not never spoke to me, but it wasn't like, you know, like, hey, what's up? It wasn't like social. It wasn't like friendly. It was always just like, we're in a meeting together.
Okay.
Or whatever. And like, you know, like then like my boss, who was like, you know, the director of marketing, they hung out a bunch more. That was more like, we're on the same, you know, we both moved here from other places in the company. And it did not help that his girlfriend was also a marketing person in the company.
Oh my gosh.
I know, at like around the same age, obviously. And I think she was like a director as well. So it was just sort of like, you know, I think from his point of view, like I was a real like waste of talent, and like clearly people our age could be doing a lot better. And he was just the proof of it. And yeah, I don't know. I never got very warm vibes from him at all. But
oh, man.
You know what? I still got the couch, and we have put that couch to good use.
We certainly have. Yeah, I was gonna, not warm vibes, but one crappy couch. That's for sure.
That is the thing. It is what has been so great about that couch being on the set is that it is so uncomfortable to sit on.
It is truly not a good couch.
Yeah.
Which is part of the problem. It's part of the dilemma that I'm having. Like, it was almost a better prop than it was couch because it gave the sense that we wanted to have, which was, I mean, realistically kind of where we started, which is just that, like, it's just kind of meant to look like the corner of your bedroom or like the corner of your basement, right, or something, which, like, we started in the corners of our basement, yeah, you know? And so, like, it was like, it fit what we were attempting to do in a way that completely made sense. But so then I'm having this thing though, where I'm like, okay, so if we don't, like, you can't really, in my head, I'm like, you can't really sell the couch because, like, well, I suppose you could, but like, it would take the right kind of person to appreciate its value. But right, then even somebody who was like a fan of the show, and they were like, dude, I would love to have like the Super Carlin Brothers couch.
Yeah,
that was like in their videos. Then it's like, then it's big.
It's huge.
It's like, you know, so like, unless you want to somehow get it, you know, it's like, then it's its own bizarre challenge of like, you know, it's not like we could just like put it in a box and like mail it,
right?
You know, yeah, like,
it's, how are you gonna get it?
It's huge. Well, it's not. I mean, it's like, it's your standard 84 inch couch.
Yeah,
you know, 7 feet long or whatever.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to think, like, is there a world where we slice it up and have like authentic, you know, like, I think for like some sports cards, you can get like a game worn jersey. So like, you know, name me a baseball player, any baseball player.
Right. Like Johnny Damon.
There you go. Yeah. So you can buy a Johnny Damon card that's been graded or whatever. And then inside of the grading will be like a little like fabric piece, you know, like a game worn jersey.
You want to make trading cards out of our couch?
Not trading cards. Yeah. Couch trading cards. Who's not into this idea? No, I was like, I don't even know. This is like an idea I just need to like float into the universe to see, because I feel like what we could do is have like raise money for charity, like buying a piece of the crappy couch,
right?
Yeah. You know, so it's like, I'm trying to give it a legacy that's worth something, mm-hmm, because it has something. Like, it has lived a life that not many couches have lived.
That's true.
And I'm proud of it for that.
I mean, it's done its job. It's worked admirably, no doubt, for a free couch.
Free couch. But yeah, the thing is you don't want this couch.
Now it's like, it is now sitting. The other thing about redoing the set is that, like, because we're pointing it at the corner, we freed up a ton of wall space everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, so now we have like more room on either side of it. So it is like still sitting in the office, and it doesn't look bad there, but it's also like, you know, you don't want to, I know what you're thinking. Like, couldn't you go sit on it? Like, even if it's an uncomfortable couch, like, you could still sit on it. And like, you're not wrong. You could go sit on it, but like, it's really uncomfortable. Yeah. Part of me is also like, you know, who knows? Like, we just upcycled a bunch of our old set props like back onto the set.
Yeah.
So it's like, who knows? Maybe 10 years from now, we'll be like, oh, you know what? Bust out the couch.
Bust that people are like,
bust out the couch.
Is that the couch?
Is it back? Yeah.
Could it be?
No.
What a choice we can make.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so we have a couch. We don't know what to do with it. It may or may not go somewhere.
You can send it to college with Addie, you know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. She's like,
my dad gave me this couch for free.
Yeah. Yay.
It'll be like sitting on it like, It's not the best couch.
I see why. It's like the couch that just gets like handed down through generations because it never gets worn out because like people are never wearing it out because it's not worth sitting on enough.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, then like maybe like one day Addie gives it to like her kids.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
you're like at your grandkids' house and you're like, is that the couch?
Is that the couch?
That's the couch.
It's still alive? It's
still here? Man.
I know. Anyway, so if you have any thoughts on the couch, be sure to let us know.
Yeah, what should we do with our couch?
Yeah, email us popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Would you want to know that it's like we've been talking about this couch for a while. Just sitting behind our camera right now is a different couch that we bought for our first office.
Yes.
For the purpose of actually sitting on. So it is comfortable.
It is a comfortable couch.
It is a comfortable couch. And the funniest thing about that couch in particular is that we were at the furniture store, we're looking around, we couldn't find anything. Like, we wanted a blue couch because, like, I don't know, those sort of SCB vibes.
Yeah, I mean, like our cosmic blue wall,
yes,
is about
persists.
It's about as iconic as we've got.
Yeah. And so we wanted a blue couch and we finally find one and we look at the brand, and the brand was literally Jonathan Lewis.
Yes.
Which, if you don't know, is my middle name.
Right. Yes.
And it was like, what? That's so cool that this is the brand of couch, the Jonathan Lewis. And then we look at the model, and I kid you not, the model of the couch was the Carlin.
Yes.
And it was like, no, this couch is the Jonathan Lewis Carlin.
It's like the couch is you.
It is me.
It is the most unusual thing ever. And not even beyond that, like when we both had our two sets, when we first started Super Carlin Brothers, I had like a gray wall because I was trying to be like, you know, edgy and like, you know, emotional and stuff.
Yeah.
And you had like your cosmic blue couch because you were like upbeat and positive and like, you know, excitable and stuff.
You know
and
me.
So like it's the Jonathan Lewis Carlin couch in cosmic blue.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite color.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's the same, if you're wondering, you know, that painting on the SCB set, that like red and blue painting, the blue is cosmic blue. It's the same color as the wall.
Yeah. It's pretty glorious.
Yes. So that is definitely my favorite paint color.
Yes. Would you ever paint a room in your house cosmic blue?
I mean, like it occurs to me like, because there's in the back of my mind, the thing that I'm not doing that I want to be doing some of the time is like streaming stuff, like just like streaming games and things, because I used to do that on like a weekly basis and it was like super fun, and then kids and time and just difficult to do. Even this past weekend I had like a couple hours and I was like, maybe I could go fire it up, just, you know, it doesn't have to be for long, just if I have nothing to do, whatever, I'll have done it.
Yeah,
go, you know, stream. And I went down there and I like opened XSplit broadcaster. I'm like trying to set it up forever, and I'm all of the stuff needs updates and all of the stuff is not connected in the right way, and it's just like, I could get there, but by the time I got there I like burned through my lead and I was like, I'm only got like 30 minutes now, so maybe next time an opening appears I'll be able to do it. But the point is that if you're streaming, a lot of times you have like cool backgrounds, and so it like there could be reason to cosmic blue a wall in my office.
That'd be pretty fun,
you know,
bring it home.
But to that point, just this past weekend, we were up in Blacksburg, home of Virginia Tech, the Hokies.
Yeah.
We were seeing Despicable Me 4.
What'd you think of it?
Well, I won't lie, Ben. Sort of unfortunately, during like the climax, like the big fight at the end, I fell asleep.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I know. I felt like this is never, I've never fallen asleep in a movie before.
You're also like a notorious not napper.
I know. I'm a notorious not napper. I don't nap almost ever, and I've never fallen asleep at the movies, but I was tired for sure going in.
Right.
Just, you know, it's like sometimes you just have a few bad days of sleep in a row because people are waking up or whatever, and this was such a week. And the other thing, though, was that we were in Blacksburg, so they have like the B&B theater or the Cinebowl, which is like a movie theater / bowling alley.
Yeah, it's a bit fancier than what we have down here in Roanoke, which is to say we only have like your classic movie theater chairs.
Yes, we have the very boring classic stadium seating. movie theater chairs that were built forever ago. And they're, you know, it used to be like when, you know, I feel like we had Tanglewood and we had Valley View.
Right.
And like Tanglewood was always closer, but if you go to Valley View, oh, they had like the high back seats. They leaned back like 2 inches. And
I know,
it was like,
yeah.
This is, whoa.
I know. It's like when you're on the airplane and you got like that little button, you can like lean your chair back. And it's like, it's not even worth being offensive to the person behind me.
Yeah.
To lean back like 1 inch.
I know. I'm always like, you know what? Is it worth leaning back? It feels like it'll just bother the person behind me. The person in front of me never seems to be concerned about this.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. They're always doing it.
And I'm like, I guess. And then I'm so bothered by it that I'm like, I can't possibly bother the person behind me. So then I'm left with even less space. Ugh. As if they couldn't just lean back as well behind me.
I know. It's like dominoes.
It is. Yeah. But that's not the point. Yeah. So, but like the theaters that were built here in Roanoke were built so long ago, and they seem to do a good enough job serving the number of moviegoers in the area.
Yep.
That like this is what happens to Roanoke all the time. All the time, they build stuff and it's good, but then in the future they don't like. It's like they get stuck because they already built it, and now there's no need for another movie theater.
Yeah.
So, but now, if you go to the movies now, if you go to the Cinebowl, if you go to Christiansburg and go to the movie theater, they have these insane seats that like are recliners, and they have electronic buttons, and they have seat warmers, and it's like. Man, this is, you can like order dinner to your seat at like some movie theaters. And it's like, that will never come to Roanoke because we already have these two theaters and they already work. No one would ever build a movie theater here because of these two theaters, which are terrible.
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 What I've always wanted to do is like use the stadium seating. So this like where it like, you know, goes up nice and really tall, and then use the space underneath the seating so that like if people like order stuff,
yeah.
Then you could almost send up like a little like bank teller vacuum tube,
yeah.
And, like, you know, it would just like, it would like pop up. So it'd be like, you know, like, oh yeah, like I want like a Dr. Pepper to seat G3 or whatever. And then G3 all of a sudden I was like,
yep,
man, would that not be the best?
That would be the best. Like you had like a little arm compartment thing there, and it was just like a little green like light comes on. You're like, whoop. Oh, look at that.
It's just my beverage is right there
right
all of a sudden.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're as a nation or even a globe, we are underusing vacuum tubes.
We are underusing them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you heard it here first.
And I
feel strongly about this.
Let me tell you, this is the other problem why a good movie theater won't come to Roanoke is because the movies are not like booming as they once were.
Ugh.
The theater, which is not to say that there aren't some standouts like Inside Out 2, crushing it.
Oh yeah,
it is like destroying at the box office. And then Despicable Me 4 is actually also like those two movies alone are like propping up the entire summer.
I know,
at least until Deadpool comes out.
And then that's also.
And then
gonna,
that's also.
You think that's going to do well? Are we catching our stride again?
Only hope.
Are movies back?
I so hope movies at the theaters are back. Like I love going to the movies.
I know,
like more than most people. I think like that's not even like I like that's one of those things where like you figure like you slowly realize it. Where you're like in my mind. Everyone loves going to the movies. Like it's always a fun experience. Everyone always likes going. And it's like, that's just like, you know, it doesn't occur to me that you could be like, you want to go to the movies? And people would be like, I just don't even like going to the movies that much. It'd be like, I don't understand what you just said. Yeah, what?
Like, take it back. Take it back now.
What? Do you also dislike candy and puppies? Like, what do you mean? I don't know. What? You don't. Huh? Like it doesn't compute.
Doesn't compute. No, I mean, it's funny because I would say I actually do think I like kind of walk that line a little bit. Like I do love going to the movies and I love like the popcorn. And I even think that like I went through like a dip area there for a little while where like when I was like a little kid and you like would go to the movies like with your friends, it was like so cool to like go and like get to like, you know, your mom might give you like $20 for popcorn.
Yeah.
You could get popcorn and a drink or whatever. And it was like, oh, this is the best. And then I feel like, you know, I went to like high school and like dating and stuff where you would go and like the movies was just sort of like, I don't know, like it felt like at some point in time it was like not cool to like get popcorn. And I don't even know if that was just like our little orbit.
Yeah, I know. It was like, I do remember going for a very long stretch of time being like, popcorn suckers.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, wow. Who's falling for this? Right.
Yeah.
Maybe what had happened was I was old enough to have like one teacher teach us like the psychology thing of like, you know, the medium popcorn is $7.50. and the large popcorn is $8. And they do that because nobody's ever going to buy the medium popcorn because everybody's just going to spend the extra 50 cents for the $8, when in reality, it's all overpriced.
Yeah.
You know, so you feel like you're getting like a deal because you're like, oh, 50 cents more, no big deal.
Right. And look how much more I get.
Right. But then I felt like I was smarter than the movie theater. Yeah. But then it turns out that popcorn just makes movies more fun.
Yeah. I mean, the show is literally called Popcorn Culture.
It is so called. Yeah.
That is another thing. I think I like popcorn more than most people.
Sure.
As well.
Sure. Yeah. Popcorn is great.
These are all things that, like, the more you like figure out, it's like unique to yourself, where it's like, you know what though? I know why these things are true. It's like, one, because mom loves popcorn.
Okay.
And mom makes popcorn, or she made popcorn all the time.
Right. We grew up with it.
Were watching a movie at home, popcorn was happening.
Right.
Whereas like if I'm watching a movie now, I'm like, I'm making popcorn. Beth's like, I was like, I have to like sell her on the idea of making popcorn.
Here's why it's gonna be amazing. Reason number one, popcorn rules.
Argument over. And it's like, because I always want to make it to the stovetop, but then when you do that, like, you know, the oil smell can kind of get into the air.
It does have that effect, like, yeah.
Which to me is like, small price to pay. You know we're going to get popcorn at the end of it, right?
Right, right.
But to Beth, like, the smell is more offensive than the joy of eating popcorn.
Sure.
Which is bananas to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'll just turn the vent fan on, that's the other thing. It's like, you know, she'll always want me to turn the vent fan on. But vent fans are my least favorite sound in the world.
They're just kind of like a loud, it's not like a white noise hum. It's just like an irregular noise hum.
Yes. Yeah. Like bathroom fans and microwave, like vent fans. Like if those things are on, it is like, I cannot function around them.
No way.
I hate them.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is bad because like bathroom fans are very useful.
They are there for a reason.
I know they're there for a reason, but the reason appears to be to drive me crazy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
But so anyway, like there's that. And then like as far as the movies go, I think growing up here, like now in Roanoke, there's like more to do. There's like stuff you could, go enjoy. But when we were growing up, a lot less stuff to do.
Sure.
But you could go to the movies, and so I did.
Yes, and it was, I mean, I think that is like one of those things too, where it's like you experience it as a child. It's such a positive experience. And so like, I do think there's like a childhood sense of like excitement when you return. Like you're kind of getting to like revisit what feels like a dedicated space for nothing but fun and happiness.
Exactly. And like when we were growing up too, it was like the midnight premieres were such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, not only did like staying up extra late to go see a movie, such a novel thing, feel like such an exciting thing to go do, but then like after you'd seen it, like you had information other people didn't have yet.
Yeah.
You know, this was like not during the internet. So like the internet was obviously there, but like if you'd seen it the day before, then like you had the information, you knew it, you were like ahead.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's a good feeling.
That was a good feeling. Exactly.
Minus the fact that you were up until 3 a.m. and then, you know, kind of exhausted getting up for school.
Who cares?
When you're 16.
Also worth it, Ben.
Does anything really affect you?
Oh yeah, exactly. That's the thing. To a 16-year-old, being up to 3 a.m. means nothing if you to go into school on Friday, because you know what? You saw Pirates of the Caribbean last night and none of these other suckers did except you and your buddies, and now you can talk about it and everyone has to be like, oh man, I'm going to see it this weekend. I'm like, I've already seen it. I'll probably see it again this weekend.
I go to the movies.
I go to the movies a lot.
I get popcorn.
Do you remember, like, this doesn't happen anymore. Do you remember bragging about how many times you'd seen a movie in theaters?
Ooh.
Like, this was a real flex.
I don't know. I remember I went to see the King Kong movie that came out circa like 2005.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I saw it 3 times in theaters with 3 different people.
Wow.
Which I think actually like I felt some like shame about that. I was like, oh no.
Dude, that movie was long.
It was like three hours. Yeah.
I saw The Matrix Reloaded 5 times in theaters.
Dang.
I know.
That's pretty cool. Is that on your Twitter bio?
I should just change it.
You should.
So I saw The Matrix Reloaded 5 times in theaters.
It's just like,
Okay. Sunglasses emoji.
Yes.
Oh, I'm like, all right.
No, that's the reaction you want from people.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Cool.
Like I think everybody, even if they're like, if the level of being impressed by the actions of somebody goes from 0 to 100, people would have to be impressed at least 3. And that, like, which is to say, what do you normally say in your Twitter bio that is actually impressing people?
Yeah, nothing, you know? Good. I never know what to put in bios ever on social media. I feel like, and I will think about it a lot. I'm like, because sometimes I'll read people's and I'll just be like, that was perfect. That was great. I love that. Like, I understand all of your humor in one sentence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, I think one of my favorite, can I remember the whole thing right now? It was like, stop being people and start being donuts.
Oh my gosh. I remember you telling me about this and I was like, it's something to do with donuts.
It is something to do with donuts. And I was like, that is the best bio ever. Like, you just nailed it. Like, steal it from you?
Or? Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, I can't.
It's like, can I just like block you?
Yeah. Yeah. But you won't know.
I love your sense of humor so much. I don't want you to know I took it.
Exactly. But then it's like, then I'll always know. I'll be like, I mean, is it perfect? Yes. Did I think of it? No.
No.
No, I didn't. No,
and at my core, I know that.
And at my core, I know that, you know? Right. All of these compliments, they're not for me.
Right. Yeah. You know? It's like everybody would be like, this is such a good Twitter bio. Like, you did so great. Like, I'm at least at like a 84.
Yeah. It's like, it's way better than having seen The Matrix 5 times in theaters.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
The Matrix 2. Seeing The Matrix 1 5 times in theaters. That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty. I think anybody would at least clear like 37 with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. That's way better.
But like, that's the thing too. Yeah. It's like if you're going to like, are you just providing information about yourself? Or are you trying to like verify, like, you know, host of this show on the internet? Host of Popcorn Culture.
Right. Is it just like a chance for like marketing or, you know,
then it feels like
you don't want to be like, I think if it's just I think my Instagram one is just like a list of the shows I do at this point. So it's just like Super Carlin Brothers, Popcorn Culture, Through the Gryffindor, Box Breakers.
Okay. Yeah. I think for the longest period of time, I don't even know if it was been like since I've been like an online content creator type person, but like at least in like my earlier days, I probably would have had a quote from Steve Prefontaine that said, to give anything less than the best is to sacrifice the gift. I think I also had 2 different shirts that had the quote on the back that I would like wear to like practice all the time, as if I was actually embodying the ideals of Steve Prefontaine and just going out there and absolutely crushing it every single day.
Yeah, right.
I was not doing that.
You weren't doing that?
No.
You weren't giving your best every day?
I mean,
you were sacrificing the gift.
Yeah, I was sacrificing the gift. That's the real irony of it.
Right.
But it's like, I liked Pre so much and I liked the belief that I should like a quote from Pre so much that I was like, this is what I want people to know about me. But then it's also like, but it's probably not dead accurate either. Like,
you feel like it's accurate. Is there a second Pre quote? I feel like there was a different like running quote that was on every shirt.
Oh, no, that's the one I would think of.
That's the one. Yeah. I feel like there was that one and then there was another one. Gosh, I can't now. I'm losing it. If I think of it in like 10 minutes, I'll let you know.
Okay.
If I crossword brain it.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Boy, howdy, where to begin? I remember graduating college and having aspirations of becoming an entrepreneur. I was brimming with ideas. A kitchen tool that made spiral cut hot dogs or a phone case that uses a special retractable cables to wrap around any surface for selfies. I had no idea how to make these ideas a reality and spoilers, I still don't. However, what I have learned through my various other endeavors is how to take products and make them available for purchases online, thanks to Shopify. Shopify is an e-commerce platform that makes designing your webpage, setting up your store, and making your first sales a breeze. But the best part is that after that first sale, Shopify scales with your growth, meaning it's perfect whether you're selling tens, hundreds, or even thousands of products monthly. And I am a data person, and boy, does Shopify have data. Want to know how many hot dog spiralizers you sold between May 29th and July 5th. That's peak hot dog season. Boom, data in no time. Also, the answer is zero. I still don't know how to make a hot dog spiralizer, but if I did, I would know exactly how to sell them. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also work to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the mourning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a Feather Snap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about y'all, but no matter how hard I work, I sometimes still feel like I'm just not doing enough. And life is hectic. There's just simply no doubt about it. Whether you're in school, the early stages of your career, taking a big step romantically, becoming a parent, the list goes on. Each of us has daily stressors that can add up, making it hard to feel like you've ever got time for yourself. And this is when establishing some non-negotiable self-care tactics is more vital than ever. So take the bubble bath, go for a jog, or better yet, pretend to go for a jog and just sit quietly on a park bench for a while. But I gotta tell you, for me, my self-care is therapy. In fact, here at Super Carlin Brothers, we have a no questions asked approval process for time off to take therapy appointments. It's something that we value highly, and we know it makes a difference in the lives of ourselves and our team. For me, therapy has been so vital to juggling my own busy life. While it can sometimes seem frivolous to make time for a hobby when there is so much going on, I've discovered that taking the time actually lifts my mood and makes me more effective everywhere else. And that is something I've learned in therapy. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/poppop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poppop.
But speaking of pre, Ben.
Hey, speaking of
in
pre,
the Prefontaine movie Without Limits, which is a movie everyone should watch, his coach, Bill Bowerman, is played by a guy named Donald Sutherland.
But what are you doing to me right now?
You might know.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
You put it in the notes.
I know. No.
I'm trying to set you up.
You're setting me up so well.
Yeah.
No, it's a This is no, you're fine. Keep going. Okay.
In the movie, Prefontaine's coach is Bill Bowerman, played by a guy named Donald Sutherland, who you might better know as President Snow from The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And you have here in the notes something about Donald Sutherland and watching a show this weekend starring Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes. Okay. So this is like one of those moments where like I literally could not tell in the moment, like, because I'm sitting there, I'm watching Designated Survivor on Netflix. Because
a movie to watch this weekend, Ben.
I know. Yeah, that was kind of unbelievable. But like TV show.
Yeah.
And so in case you're unfamiliar with it, the Designated Survivor is a situation where like whenever there's like a presidential address or something, like where all of like Congress and everybody are all inside of like one building, they usually take like one person who has like succession to the presidency and remove them from like for the evening so that they are elsewhere, such that if something were to happen, there is not everybody in one place. And there is somebody who has succession to the presidency who right. can then take over. And it's honestly, it's like a cable TV show. It's like the proper, it honestly kind of reminds me of like old school movies, like Michael Bay, Transformers, like explosions
and everywhere.
Like, and like, what? No, that or like a telenovela right. where it's like amnesia. And it's right. like, why not?
Oh man, like, twin brother.
They're not even related.
No.
Yeah, there's like all sorts of just hilarious twists and turns. But me and Alice have just been like, you know, especially at night, I think we want something that like doesn't feel like overly intense. So I do this thing all the time where like when I'm like looking, even if it's like my friends' faces or if I'm like watching like a TV or a movie show, and I'm always trying to think like, who does this person look like? Who does it remind me of? And I'm sitting there watching Kiefer Sutherland play the president for, you know, like episode after episode. And there's like these moments where I'm like, gosh, he is reminding me of Pri's coach.
Yeah.
Donald Sutherland. And I'm like, what is this guy's name? And so then I'm like, that's right. Okay. So it's okay. So Donald Sutherland. And then I'm like, looks like Kiefer. And then I'm like typing this into like Google. And I'm like, Sutherland. Like I'm even like saying the words like, oh, Donald Sutherland looks like Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh.
And it's like Kiefer Sutherland, son of Donald Sutherland. Oh. And it's like, they do look the same. I was right. They are related. Maybe I should have known that.
I did not know that until you told me this morning.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it is never, that never, and it's like, as soon as you said it, I just like pictured them next to each other in my brain. And I was like, what? They're like twins. They're like the same person.
I know. It's really yeah. strange. And it's not, I wouldn't even say it's all the time and always, but there's this like kind of like gravelly voice that he uses as like the president where it's like, I can't help but hear Donald Sutherland. And so anyway, this is like a very like mind blowing moment because I think that this is like a weird ability I have. I think, I don't really know. Like for a while, I wondered whether or not there weren't like a surprisingly few number of faces that existed in the world. So like, you know how sometimes people like have that face and it's like, you know, people are like, do I know you? And it's like, nah, I just got one of those faces. Like I'm very recognizable. Like,
yeah.
you know, and it was almost like, is it possible that there's like a very small number of ways any of us can look, which is why like you run into people and you're like, you look just like my friend, or like, dude, you look like that actor, you know, like total doppelganger. And so I'm doing like some research on that or whatever, and it turns out there's like almost as many different faces you can have as like fingerprints, you know. It's like right. it's I mean, if your nose is like 1 millimeter different, then it can change, you know, the look of your face in such a obvious way. There's yeah. so many variables, but I oftentimes feel as though like I'm looking at somebody and like what I'm trying to do is almost like scrape the database of other faces I've seen in the world mm-hmm. and try to like almost like align them. And so there are instances where I'm like, you look like this actor, and like they might have like completely different like physiques or like makeups or like coming from like wildly different backgrounds, but I'm like, but somewhere deep inside it's the same face shape. And it's like sometimes I mean it's like hard to convince people because you're like, this person looks like that person, and they're like, they really don't look the same. And I'm like, but they do. And I'm like, I'm seeing between the lines,
dude. I have a friend like this. Her name is Haley, and she like people would tell her this all the time, that she had like the same face, like the same, like not like you wouldn't like look at her and be like, you were like a carbon copy twin, but everyone would tell her she looked like Selena Gomez.
Okay.
And not a great person to look like.
yeah.
But it's like that, like I have noticed it like more than once where I'm like, you look like there's something like that particular face shape, like this is like, I've noticed it on a bunch of people.
It's so interesting. Yeah. It's so interesting. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know why it's like such a interesting game to me, but it's almost like if I could like figure out face structure, it's yeah. like, and maybe it would make the world just make more sense by like one iota.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, I get it just a little bit more.
Right. Or it's like, have you ever, I think I've seen these kind of posts before where it's like proof that certain celebrities are immortal or something. And it'll be like this painting of someone from a very long time ago. And it's like, they'll just put them like next to Keira Knightley or something. And it's like, they have the exact same face. And you're like, that's weird.
Right.
like, what, man, that's crazy. Like, was that them in a past life? Did, you know, like, this is just a drawing of that person, you know?
I know.
How does it look the exact same?
Well, yes. And like, so this is, it's like, I can't imagine, like, but almost certainly it's the case that there is a doppelganger of, like, of me and you in the world.
Man.
Like, there weird. Are people out there, probably, who look exactly like us.
You think so?
I think.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a nearly 1 in 8 billion chance.
That, when you say it like that, it's like, that is crazy.
Right.
Right. But, so this is, I've thought about this before too. Like, what is like the population of China?
Ooh, like 1.7 billion.
Is it 1.7?
That would be my guess, but that could be old data.
Let's see. Let me see if I can do a quick
or maybe
search
I'm thinking
here.
Of India. Maybe it's more.
Let's see. Population. It's like 1.42 billion as of 2022.
Okay.
So I think for, I may, this must've been something that was like misquoted to me at some point where it was like, yeah, like the, like if aliens came down and they wanted to like take a sample or something, like you wouldn't even have to worry because like the average, like they would want like a great representation of the planet. And like the average person is Chinese, you know?
Oh, sure. Right? Sure. Yeah. Like based on like numbers.
Right. Based on numbers.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like if aliens come, you're probably not terribly, I mean, but that's probably just also true because you have, if they're going to select one person, that's the same odds again. It's like you have a 1 in 8 billion.
You're right. You probably don't have to worry anyway because it's 1 in 8 billion, but right. Someone's going to get taken.
Someone is going to get taken.
That's it.
It could be you.
It could be, you could be the lucky one.
But like, that's also the thing where it's like, this is kind of like my, I have like this, like one, this like weird question that's sort of like, if the opportunity arose for you to be on like a one-way trip to Mars. Mm. Like, it's a weird kind of psychology to like wrap your head around, especially if you were going to be like one of, let's say, 200 people or something, and they're going to be like selected like from all over. So you and the other occupants of the space shuttle going to Mars don't know each other.
Right.
Like, it's like the relationship that the people on Earth who had known you, like, we've never really experienced this opportunity before because it's still barely even there. You almost can't even call it an opportunity. But like, if somebody leaves your planet forever, like, the psychology behind that is so very strange.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I suppose there's a world where like intergalactic communication exists, so you could,
right,
like,
so you could still talk to people on Earth,
like, maybe you could, but like, if that was severed, it would be like that person leaving would be such an unusual, like, emotional piece of turmoil because they would be gone forever, but you would know, like, you might know information about the ship or that like everybody arrived there safely.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like you will never see or hear from them ever again.
Like, they're effectively dead.
Yes, yeah. but they're not. But they're there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, isn't that weird?
That is weird.
It's like, we've never really had to like properly like consider that before. But I also wonder if this is what it was like for people, you know, in the, you know, 1400s,
like crossing the ocean or whatever. Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's just like, we're going to get on a ship and getting back. One, getting there alone is scary and dangerous. Yep. And there's a whole thing. Lots of things can go wrong. But then even if you get there, what are the odds of coming back?
You're not coming back.
Or do you just go and stay?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I know it is. I feel like not, this is obviously super different and only vaguely related.
Yeah.
Because you got to preface everything with how related it is to what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. How close are we to what we were just discussing percentage wise?
Part of me, I feel like I've had something like this with the mustache growth.
Okay.
On the face, where I'm just like, yeah, like, I've got it. And it's like, part of me is like, but like there's this weird barrier where like as long as I keep it, like, it's just there, but there's like this, it feels like there is a decision that has not been made in my own brain about like whether or not, like people keep asking me, like, are you gonna keep it, are you gonna keep it, are you gonna keep it, and I'm like, Like, it's sort of a weird thing to ask. Because, like, one, you could always just grow a back.
Yes,
you
know, of course.
Like, if you wanted to.
It's not like going to Mars.
Right, exactly. It's not like going to Mars, but it's sort of like, what do you mean keep it? Like, it's still here. So far, I've kept it.
Right.
You know? But, like, what they mean is, like, are you going to make this, like, a permanent fixture on your face kind of thing? Like, whereas if it's undecided, it's just sort of still there. Whereas if it's, like, I'm keeping it, then it's, like, no, now we've really dedicated to not shaving.
Right.
But, like, there's part of me that thinks that, like, but of course at some point I'll shave it. Like, at some point I'll return to how things were. And it's, like, but will you?
But yeah, know, right. So yeah. You've got like a real Schrodinger's mustache going on.
Yeah, right. Yes, it both exists and doesn't exist.
Precisely. Yeah. Like, so here's the real question, though: is whether or not like there's an amount of mental energy that your brain is working on, probably on like maybe not actively like mm-hmm. front and center.
Yeah.
But like, I bet like 0.25% of your brain waves are in way deep in the back working on whether or not to make this decision.
I think you are correct about that. Like last week I literally had like stress dreams about it.
No way.
I know. I woke up, I was like that, which to me then was just sort of like sitting, I was like, dude, it reminded me of like watching The Bachelor, and it's like the night before someone's going to propose and they're like, I really don't know what I'm going to say. And like me sitting at home on the couch is like, if you don't know what you're going to say, the answer's no. Like if it's a yes, you know, it's a yes. Like that's the only correct answer.
Right.
You know, like, so that, like I woke up and I was like thinking like, if I don't know, then the answer's no, you know?
Right.
And then like, I mean, honestly, like I woke up Friday and I was like, I was having a bad mustache day. I was not feeling it. I was like, this is it. It's over. I'm done. I'm like, I'm going to make it through the weekend. I'm going to get to Sunday and that's it. You know, like I was like committed. But, like, part of me was like, why not just, you might be like, why wouldn't you just do it on Friday? It's like, cause part of me knew that like, just give yourself time to mull that decision over. And like by Sunday, I had like turned around on it again, you know?
That is so funny.
I know, but I was like, yeah, I was very down on it on Friday. So there was that. But then like other people will like talk to me. It's such a weird thing. People will talk to me like, are you like styling it? Like, are you getting it to like grow sideways like that? Are you like doing anything? And I'm like, nope, not doing anything.
It has very defined like shape.
It does. And it's like the way people talk to me about it, it makes me feel like it is growing in I'm good at doing it like on accident or something.
Yeah.
Like, most people don't grow it and just get this. And which to me then makes me feel like, well, maybe I've got something here. It's like it'd be like learning you could fly, but then sort of being like, yeah, but like, are you going to keep it or, you know?
It's like, but you know what? Heights.
Yeah. Right. Like it's actually really cold up there though.
Is
you
it
know?
Worth it? Yeah.
Right. Like,
yes. If you can fly, fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'll buy you a jacket.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's very interesting because this, I mean, tell me if this is not true.
Yeah.
You are not someone who I have historically would have like pegged as being, struggling with like indecision mm-hmm. about something. Like
yeah.
I've always kind of felt like when you do things, you sort of like, it's either like, are you contemplating, you know, buying a new car? It's like, my suspicion is that your contemplations of buying a new car are zero.
Right.
Like you're not at all contemplating a new car.
Yeah, correct.
At this moment. Yeah, right. But like, you know, it's like, I would say that like, even though I'm not like even close, I'm not like walking lots or reading research. I'm always probably like 2.5% contemplating getting a new car.
Right.
This is just like, it's like, I can't ever help but like have that like passing daydream. Like if I'll pass a car on the street, I'm like, that would be fun. What would that be like? Could I drive that? What would the implications be? I'm going to think about that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm like, I might do that. But
I think when it's not like stuff like that doesn't happen to me, but it's always like if I see like a car that I think like that'd be cool to own. Like, I don't like think like, how could I start making it happen? I just think that like, it's not time yet or
okay.
something.
Then, like, when it's like when the right time comes,
whereas like I'll pocket it away, be like, you know what? That's something eventually I'll work on.
Okay.
Or something. But it's not like, yeah, I'm certainly not like, I should start pulling levels towards that. But at the same rate, it's like, you know, it's not like, you know, like me and Beth both like Broncos.
Yeah, from Ford.
Which
yeah.
is like, it's like, honestly, I could probably just make it happen.
Right.
You know, like, I could probably have a Bronco by next weekend if I really wanted to, you know?
Right, yes.
But it's not like, but I don't like see it and think like, yeah, absolutely, I gotta have it. I need to know. Just like, you know, to me, it's just like I'm very content with what I got right now. Like, it just, it makes so little sense for me to change my current situation.
Right, right. Yeah. So, and that would be my assessment of your personality anyways. But so I think what I'm curious about, like, do you feel like the mustache has been singularly like unique in any ways where it's like, it has been a thing that you've done. You did a great thing with it. You raised a lot of money for a great cause, which was outstanding. It's certainly garnered a huge amount of attention, you know, just from anybody who watches the show or people like, you know, it's on your face.
It's on your face.
Yeah. So it's like people aren't missing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, even like my tattoo, I would say I have gotten way fewer comments about my tattoo than I feel like you've gotten about your mustache.
Well, I mean, it is like a whimsical mustache too. It's got like the little curls at the end.
Yeah.
You know, which it's fine by me. And it's like, sometimes I like, you know, we sort of said like, I feel like I've got a lot of clothes that like go with the mustache, you know? And sometimes I feel like, you know, like maybe I've had like a mustache the whole time. You just couldn't see it, you know?
I know.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I could sort of see that.
You know what I mean? Like, so sometimes I think that, and then I'll like think back and I'm like, is this actually like, you know, like I think back to other situations in my life and I'm like, have I like kind of always wanted this or anything? Like, I couldn't really grow facial hair for like a very long time, but like, you know, I think even if you look back to year one, I had like one or two videos where I had like just like a big fake comical mustache that I was wearing just because I thought it was like funny whatever. And I just like, yeah, that was funny. But I'm like, part of me thought it was funny because like, wouldn't it be cool to have like a big mustache or whatever?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly what my No Shave November thing. Right. It's like, haha, we're doing it for fun. / I just want to see how it looks.
Right. But then I'm like going through like, you know, even like my underwear drawer one day and it's like, I have a pair of underwear that just has mustaches on it. And it's like, I have a shirt that's like on the back. It's got a guy. It's like someone gave it to me, but like, you know, I still have it. It's like, it's like a weightlifting shirt, but on the guy is like this guy with a mustache, you know. It's like, have I been like more open to this culture? Like, have I just been not acknowledging a part of myself that has been there the whole time? And it's like, I don't know. It's like you're trying to examine, like, is this part of the real you or something?
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to just like something I sort of did for a laugh. Is like, are you supposed to? And the people will be like, man, like, it looks good. Like, are you having to do something to grow it that way? It's like, it's just growing that way. I don't know. And the people are like, I try to get it to do that and I can't. And it's like, really? You know, like, interesting.
Maybe I'm good. I know that's the thing too, though, is that like, I so many times in life, you know, like me and you have sort of always been involved in some version of like physical fitness activities type things or whatever. And very often, like, you know, when you meet a friend and you're like inviting them to be involved in such an endeavor, the response you're sometimes met with is no. Like I'm like not athletic, you know? And right. It's sort of like, yeah, but like, sometimes it's like, I almost wonder if this is like me being like not musical or something. It's like, I don't actually know. This is just sort of like a rock. I haven't properly turned over, you know, like, it's like, I've never actually tried.
Right.
And so I think that can be like, it can be very interesting because if it's not something that's ever been like aligned, you know, directly in your world, or like, you know, like if like, you know, dad didn't have a mustache, so that might be like slightly less reason to like have adopted this particular kind of look or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, but that,
yeah,
replace mustache with anything, with any activity that you think you are so not inclined to, but it's almost like you have to be trying new things to discover whether or not there is this like thing that is a part of you that you just haven't found yet.
Right.
Because even if you wanted to like zoom it back on like a much bigger level, this kind of goes back to the question of like, did we invent music or discover music? Because like, if you clack together two rocks, it makes a sound. If you clack together two other rocks, it makes a different sound. You know, like
right.
Nature makes noise.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, there are sounds that like when
birds sing songs.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, you know, is this like something that just happens to be there? And what we have discovered is like we've stumbled across it, or is it more like invented?
Right.
And I think that those things live inside of all of us. Like, there is potential to be had, to be good at something, but you have to, like, you have to find it. And if you're not exposed, then will you ever find it?
Right. Yes. And so it's like, but like, and then in the meantime, I feel like I've always been like just very clean shaven and just been like, this is like very like proudly, like, this is the way I look, you know, like,
sure,
I, you know, this is, I've always been this way. This is how I look all the time. And it's like, part of me thinks that, like, you know, like, you know, you, it kind of like what you're saying. It's like, if you were able to like meet, if you were to like just glimpse, you know, yourself and like 1,000 other universes, is it just like, would like 900 of them like also have the mustache?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Exactly.
Most of the time you figure it out. Like, yeah, like you, of course, Jonathan Carlin had like the guy in the cosmic, you know, has with his clipboard is just back there. It's like, yeah, Jonathan Carlin. Yeah. Like you pretty much usually have a mustache,
dude,
you know?
I mean, I can't think of a greater application, a practical application for the discovery of multiverses than to get to witness like all of your own individual, like, what ifs,
right?
You know, because right. Like you could go through and just sort of be like, what's the world where I tried baseball? You know, and like, you know, you type it into some supercomputer and it's like, okay, in universe 6178934, you played baseball. Here's what happened. And it's like, okay, you failed out in, you know, varsity baseball in high school.
I feel like this would be so interesting to know, and it would be so hard not to compare yourself to yourself.
Yes.
In so many ways. It'd be like, cause like on the one hand, you could be like, you know, oh yeah, like, yeah, you pretty much, yeah, yes, you almost always have a mustache or something, or like you almost always don't or whatever. But it could be like, yeah, you are like you're like the only one who does like content creation. Like the rest of them are like all the same thing, you know?
Oh yeah.
You know? And wouldn't, like, that be? And then you're like, so like, I didn't follow the normal path. And it's like, well, that kind of is pretty cool. Or it's sort of like, Or I made the wrong decision somewhere. But it's like, the answer would, of course, be like, you're not making wrong decisions. You're just all different, actually. You're not really the same person. But,
yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, but, no, yeah, no matter what, like, you can never exchange the fact that in infinite numbers of universes, every single one of those infinite yous had, they didn't have identical upbringings until age 35.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like every single one of them probably dealt with things. Well, I mean, I guess infinite numbers would allow.
Well, see, here's the thing about when I think about like different versions of yourself, there aren't infinite other versions of yourself.
Oh, so like you think that there would have to be like outside.
I think there's
edges.
Like a set number at some point, because because your parents don't always get together.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like every version of mom doesn't always meet every version of dad.
Okay.
Right? Like that is where you have, like, there are an infinite number of universes, but you don't exist an infinite number of times.
Right.
Right? Does that, like...
Well, it's difficult because,
or does it?
I think that this is like that, like the Fault in Our Stars kind of brings up like the thought experiment about the concept of infinity,
uh-huh.
Where it's like between the numbers 1 and 2, there are an infinite number of numbers,
mm-hmm.
But then between the numbers like 1.5 and 1.6, there are an infinite number of numbers between 1.5 and 1.6.
Yeah.
Meaning some infinities are greater than other infinities.
Right.
You know, but it's like, because 1 through 2 is bigger than 1.5 through 1.6.
Right.
So like in my mind, it would almost be like, does that make sense?
I mean, I know. I'm familiar with the some infinities are bigger than other infinities.
Does it apply? I guess is,
yeah,
my question.
Does it apply?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah. I don't know how.
That's where my mind went.
I can see arguments for both. I feel like, well, now I'm like arguing for different things. I feel like if you were writing a story or something, it'd be more interesting if there's a set number.
It would be a set number, or it would even be really interesting to see how pervasive different people were. So like, even at that could be the type of thing where it's like, let's say you've got your supercomputer that has all the infinite use. You type in your name and it's like Ben Carlin. There are 73 of you. And then it's Jonathan Carlin. There are 9,000 of you.
Right.
You know, it's like you are a more pervasive existence than me in this example.
It feels like, just for the, I'm immediately trying to like do the math. Like, that makes sense.
Because you're a firstborn?
Because I'm the firstborn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So
I think it would have to make sense.
The firstborn is always more common because like the parents don't always decide to have the next kid.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Which means that like at least some of those 9,000 must have encountered.
Only 73 of them have a younger brother.
Ooh.
Weird. Or they're not you.
Or they're not me.
The second born isn't you.
Right. Yeah. Oh, even that's strange.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I think that would be
this
a really.
This is the kind of book I want to write. This,
I know. Yeah. I feel like what's happening is we're just doing it in real time. Right?
Here's what's happening.
We had to accidentally stumble like backwards into our concept.
It all started with a mustache.
It all started with a mustache.
Right.
That could be the name of the book.
It all started with a mustache.
Yeah.
It'd be like, what's the number? What's the number that has the mustache?
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Right.
673.
Yeah. 673 mustaches.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You should try growing one.
The 673rd mustache.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. Yeah. Okay.
That would
all
be
right,
good.
Cool.
That would be good. Okay. Okay. But no, yeah, I don't know. So what I do love about it the most is I think it would be really interesting because you may believe, or maybe even like, this is like Harry casting the Patronus for the first time. It's like, because he's already witnessed himself do it, he knows that he's able to do it, even though he's never done it before, other than the time that he witnessed himself doing it.
Right.
It's almost like I think that if
who cast the first Patronus?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's a thinker.
Right. Exactly. Past Harry always saw future Harry, but future Harry could always only do it because past Harry saw him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But they're always both there. And they both happen the exact same. Yeah, it's a very weird one.
It's a freaky circle.
It's a freaky circle.
Yeah.
The freaky circle in Thor 3 is so funny. Because it's not like you ran one way and you started running the other way. It's just like you covered like 75% of the circle at once.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like it behaves the way that circles behave.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
But we wanted to make this joke.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about it like years later. Circle. But anyway, so what I think would be most interesting would be like if I could pull up and see all the different versions of myself and learn what other versions of me were good at, I think it would give me the confidence to also be good at those things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That to me is
that is really what I'm trying to get at.
Yes.
Is that like if you were to look, yes, at the cosmic checklist or whatever, clipboard or whatever, and just be like, wow. Like 99% of the time I grow a mustache. It's like, it's because like most of the time, like the other yous just sort of figured that out.
Right.
You know, and it's like, yeah, that's like my essence. That is, you know, you're supposed to or something or whatever.
Right.
Or it's just like, yeah, like 99% of the time you like open a bakery and it's like, what? It's like, you know,
really?
Like me? And it's like a really good one. Yeah. Like it's very successful. It's like me, like I can barely make cookies. And it's like, maybe you should try baking, man.
I know. That would be so interesting. It's like, really, you've never had an affinity for it? It's like, because there's one where you opened
this guy's a lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah. You had a Blockbuster once that did not work, unfortunately. Yeah. But every other time, yeah, baker.
Yeah.
That'll be so interesting because then you could be like, it's in me. It's ingrained.
Exactly.
It must be part of my wiring.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That's what it feels like. It's like, and it feel like in the meantime, I have this like indecision part of it where it's like, either I decide it is a part of me or I decide like I'm going to shave or whatever. And it's like, part of me feels like shaving. It's like, I'm already here. It's as if it feels like you've moved to California and you're there and it's like, it's fine. But part of you is just like, but I'm only here until I move back. You know,
right?
And it's like,
yeah, like,
you it's like
become,
at what
like,
point are you deciding? No, you're not moving back, or is it like actually you should because this sucks? You know,
right? Right. Like, it's like when do you identify as like being Californian?
Right. When are you like clinging to the past versus just deciding? It's like that's what it feels like to. It's like maybe you've made like you've done the uncomfortable part. You've made a change, and it's like, are you? It's like, have you made progress or are you just trying something different? You know?
Yeah.
You know, that's what it feels like. Have you progressed more into yourself or did you just try something? And is it like, are you fearing, are you like retracting progress or are you just deciding you don't like it?
Well, the other thing that I think is happening here is that there is like any bold decision, like vanilla, I think has the ability to have not made any decisions about what it is. It is base flavor. And therefore, it's like you're not going to ever be anybody's favorite flavor, but you're also not anybody's least favorite flavor as well. Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes I think like the big challenge about being like on the internet is like strong opinions can isolate aspects of the people that who like you may want to not go away, you know, but it's like, well, I feel really strongly about this thing and I've put my flag in it. And so it's sort of like those people are like, well, you know, he's put his flag in that thing, so I'm not interested in doing this anymore because that's where that flag is.
Right.
But then it's also like, if you put your flag down on something lots of people agree with, and it's sort of like, okay, now this is my kind of guy. He agrees. Right. He agrees with what I think as well. Mm-hmm. Like now I feel even more impassioned. Like now you have become a flavor. Like you have now added chocolate chips to your vanilla flavoring.
Right.
And it's like, okay, yes. Mm-hmm. Now I have something to get behind. And I feel like with your mustache, I feel like this is like a piece of like what's happening. Is that it's like, I feel like you've got like people who are like, dude, yes, this is great. Like, I like it. And it's almost like the people who like it have like, it's like impassioned, you know, it's like elevated. It's like, cool. Mm-hmm. You tried and it looks good. But then the people who are like anti mustache, it's sort of like, see, now you've isolated me because I liked the way you looked before. And now you look different from the way
that I
know you to look. And I preferred the other way. And so now I'm like, now I'm outie on this, which I don't actually think people are like, you know, unsubbing.
I can't imagine people are like, well, that's it.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. You know what? Probably one person, but like,
right.
Who needs them?
Right. They probably weren't leaving comments anyway.
They're not listening right now. We know that much.
That's for sure. Cause they're already gone.
Cause it was a deal breaker.
Right. Now so, here we are talking about them.
I know. Joke's on them.
Fool.
Yeah. They'll never even know.
I know.
They'll never even know that we're talking about them right now. I having know. A conversation.
Yep.
Howdy. But no, I do. That's the thing to me is that I think this is the quest of like individuality on some level, is that it's sort of like, it's almost like I've mentioned before where like the guy playing in the band, like when I go to like a concert or something, it's like, I'm always like, man, the shirt you chose, how did you know that was the right one? But like, it could be the case that like, to me, it's like, yes, I like you even more now because you chose that shirt. But other people could be like, I don't know why he's wearing that shirt. Like,
right.
That one? In front of the whole concert?
Come on
now. Don't right. You know, it's like, it's just sheer laziness, you know? So it's like, maybe that's even like what's happening.
Right.
Is that it's like, you make a choice, you show your individualistic nature, and probably what you're getting is ultimately like, sure, the more you represent your individuality, the more you are being true to yourself as a person, which I would argue comes with a sense of inner peace. But I think it also probably comes with the fact that like, not everybody is for everybody, but that is also just okay.
Right.
You know, like that's something that I think, like the popularity of like the internet sometimes and like trends or like, you know, more, it's hard to feel like we're too distant from it, but I'm going to make the leap, like influencers who are sort of like, this is how you should look. It's almost like if everybody looks that way, it's like, you all feel like you're embracing your, you know, individual nature.
Yeah.
But by its very nature, it's almost the opposite.
I think, yes, I completely understand what you're saying. I feel like the question I'm struggling with is this my individuality?
That is the question. Right, that is and only you would know.
I know.
Yeah. Not that I think me or anyone else should make that decision for you, but I just think it's an interesting philosophical like thinker.
It is. Yeah. But so, and I would also like, so I know you're like, you're talking about like vanilla versus like chocolate chips or whatever. I would also think that like, I think it's funny. Like, I think it's funny that as like America treats vanilla like the boring flavor,
like base flavor. Like,
I know, where it's just like vanilla is like its own real flavor.
It is. You know? You're right. But it's a splendid canvas.
It is. But anyway, it seems to me that like even if you started at shaved or whatever or like nothing, and you were like, if you like chose mustache, that would be like chocolate chips, like boom. But to have like tried and chosen shaved, that would also be chocolate chips.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I follow. Yeah. I follow. Like because you have gone through the journey.
Right.
Like you actually know which side you came out on.
Right.
On some level.
On some level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is, I think that's a really good way to put it. And like where I think historically, my struggle with this before is like for the longest time I used to joke that like if like all other career paths went wrong, maybe what I would do is become a realtor. And the joke name in my head was Can't Fish Realty because there's no catch. And do you get it?
Can't fish.
You can't fish.
Because there's no catch.
There's no catch.
Got it.
You know, yeah. And because whenever anybody is like home shopping for the first time, and I used to watch a lot of House Hunters, which is right. Probably where this like name came from in my head. It always felt like it was the case where it's like, well, we love the little house, but you know, it's got so much charm and the neighborhood and blah, blah, blah. But
the underpin,
it doesn't have a good bathroom, you know, or the bathroom's outside or something. Yeah. You know, and
the foundation's cracked. That's all it feels like so often.
Right.
Like, how often is this the case?
I know, it's like why are we messing up foundations so badly?
Oh, guys.
Right. It's like that house is perfect except the foundation. And so that's gonna cost like, you know, probably something like $500,000 to fix.
Right.
It's like the house isn't even worth that much. It's like still that's how much foundations cost.
That's how much I love this house. Do it.
I know, yeah. Yeah. But I think that this is like a lot of like my journey with the tattoo in particular, because I think realistically I've described this as my fake other business path, but what I'm actually doing is probably describing myself.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, I can't make any decisions about who I am or step too far outside of like anything because I don't want there to be that catch.
Right.
You know, and like I think that's always been like a back of my mind concern is that thought like of like the idea of having a mustache. It's like some people, a percent of people will dislike the mustache, and I don't want to upset those 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the other 92 would love it.
Right.
You know, and like, and so like, I think like with my tattoo, you know, there's that, like, I think that we grew up in a world where the thought was suggested that like, oh, if you got a tattoo, you might not get hired somewhere.
Right.
Like that might be a deal breaker, which realistically, I think that sentiment has expired.
That sentiment has sailed long ago.
I don't know. I haven't heard that at all in any time recently.
I mean, if you had like some sort of like crazy face tattoo or something.
Maybe there's a scenario.
Yeah.
But realistically, but so anyway, but in the back of my mind, it's sort of like, well, if I make this decision for me, then what happens if I find myself in that environment where they're like, see, you were great, but you know, we don't, you know, this is not going to fit with the kind of professional aesthetic that we're going for or whatever. And it's like, I think on some level, like, well, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want those people to say no. But then it's also like, if they're going to say no because of that, you probably weren't going to love it there anyway.
Right.
You know? And it's like, I think that is probably the next big thing. So if there was that person who was like, well, I'm not listening anymore because Jay has a mustache now, it's like, chances are we weren't going to get along with that person.
No, yeah, you for know, sure.
Like, and that is hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that I think can be very challenging out there in the world to overcome.
And I remember once upon a time when we were in the process of doing like all of the like changing, like shifting Super Carlin Brothers like into all fandom stuff.
Yes.
And like, you know, part of our, it sounds so obvious now, but like part of our consideration was like, well, all the people who already watch us, who've been on like this whole like journey with us, they're like, you know, they know us for doing these like kind of like daily part, you know, funny things, vlogs or whatever.
Right.
And I remember we like started doing it, and there was I was going through the comments one day, and like, sure enough, there was like one guy in particular who was just like, hey guys, I loved the first couple of years and that was super fun, but you've only really posted fandom stuff for like, you know, the past whatever many months, and it's just like, I think you know, it's like, I wish you the best, but it's not for me, see ya, or whatever. And I remember like that was person, like, you know, you would see them in the comments all the time,
yeah,
or whatever, and it was just like, you know, that was exactly what I was worried was gonna happen. But it's like, at the same rate, it's just like, one, it was a very polite like saying goodbye. It's like, you know, one, you don't need to announce your boarding or whatever. Have you ever heard that? Like, you don't need, I don't know, like sometimes they'll be like people like leaving a thing, they feel the need to like really let the person know.
Oh, like, right. You could just like quietly fade out.
Yeah, you have to like mention it at all. But it was like, yes, like, okay, that person was gone. So that is like one person down. But in the meantime, it's just like, but also now we're at like, you know, these are like the most successful things we've ever posted.
Yeah. So and it's like, yes, you're exactly right. It's like, okay, this whole thing that we've been trying for so long, it's like, it's working,
right.
You know, and it's like that, this is an opportunity that we've been fighting really hard for, and like, you know, maybe it's not how we started or whatever, but it's also like we're so excited about this that like, you know, it would be so hard to be like, well, you know, but the hilarious thing, I mean, it comes back to our comment I think we talked about a few weeks ago where it's like we were able to grow and allow like be able to find a situation where we can do this as our career, but then the year-long conversation between brothers on the Super Carlin Brothers channel came fan theories, and
right.
Then popcorn culture became
just conversations between brothers.
So it's like, you know, what I love about it is it's kind of the same thing as like your decision to grow a mustache and then shave it off is still chocolate chips. It's like we're still wanting to have the kinds of conversations we were having in year one, and when we had the ability to do so, we went right back to it.
Right.
We grew the mustache again.
Yeah. Right,
it's still here. It never stopped being a part of us. I've heard people even talk about like friendships, you know, like this was something that came up a little bit like when we were having Addy, where some people were like, you may have some friends in your life that like that sort of ebb and flow, and you may feel like, you know, if they're on a different path, you know, and they make the choice not to go down the family route like you're doing, like it doesn't mean you're not friends. And 20 years from now, you guys may reconnect and be like, you want to go on a cruise together? And it's like, yeah, I do. And
let's go.
You'll go on the cruise and be like, there it is. It's like you didn't stop becoming friends just because you were stopped being friends.
Right.
You know, like it's like these are still people who still get on together. It's
right.
Like you can revisit. You can always go back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you didn't become friends on accident.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Still there.
It's still there. So still there. Anyway, yeah, you're right. So we'll continue the quest.
We'll continue.
When we do popcorn recultured someday, it's going to be so interesting to go through
when
this.
Yeah, when like my mustache is like touching the floor.
Yeah. You got to like walk sideways through the doors because it's like it's handlebarred like two feet.
Right. It's like Captain Crunch, you know. Right.
We're like, oh my God, the beginning of the month. You hadn't even won the awards yet.
Dude. Okay. Literally on my Instagram post like past week or something, I had a comment from someone who was like, who is apparently like a two-time national mustache champion.
Yeah.
And they
nice.
Were telling me in the comment, like, they were like, loving the stash, you should consider whatever nationals this November. And I was like, well, I'll be like, I mean, what? Like,
should you be competing?
Do I have a competition level mustache going here? What does that even mean?
It means you keep it. No. At least until November.
Right. I know. Right. Like part of me is just like, you know what? Like imagine I'm at the pool with my kids and like Michael Phelps shows up and he's like, these kids are good at swimming. I'd be like, kids, we're swimming.
Or that's it.
That's it.
That's
you know?
It. Yeah.
We're doing it. That is it. You know, like, I mean, what more of an endorsement could you want?
Exactly.
I know. So
and this I'm is like, basically the Michael Phelps of mustaches.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Michael Phelps of mustaches.
Oh, man.
Has told me I've got a competition grade stash going here.
I think you have to give it a whirl.
You know, you've got to sign up, you know?
Right.
You're going to wax. You know?
Where are we going?
I don't even know. Like, what does that mean to compete? What do you do?
That feels like it would be the most hilarious convention hall ever.
Oh, yes. Like, I clicked on like the page for it. And I mean, all the people, I mean, they have got just the wackiest, craziest off the wall facial hair you can imagine. And I was like, well, I'm not on these people's level. That's for sure.
But, right. Well, they've been practicing a little longer.
But what does practicing mean?
Jay, maybe in different universes, you, Jay, have already figured it out. It's like the different ages.
That would be so. Someday some other interdimensional Jay is going to pop up and just be like, wow. I mean, where's your mustache?
Yeah.
Like, I've got one. I'd be like, nah, I mean, like, I guess, but like,
That would be the funniest thing ever is they arrive and they're like, wait a second.
Something's wrong with this guy.
It's like, all of the rest of us figured it out.
What's up with you?
You mean you've only been doing this for like months?
Yeah.
What?
How old are you? Dude.
Every other one of us. By 24, we had it.
I can't imagine. So yeah, I don't know what that means to compete in mustaches, but I've been endorsed. So
there you go. Okay. Here come the sponsors.
Yeah. Where's like a mustache wax sponsor show?
I don't know. But yeah, maybe one day we can aspirations.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get there. Anyway, guys, as per always, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. I've had a great time.
It's been a good one. Yeah. We've run long. Yeah. Wow. That's a long episode.
We did. Hey. Yeah. I mean, shout out to everybody who stuck with us through the whole time. If you got any feedback for us, send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you want to support the show, there's of course always the $5 tier, which gets you access to After the Final Pop, which is just a bit of extra conversation that's happening after each week's episode. So Jay and I, we lock the headphones back in, we dial up a conversation we haven't hit in the past, and we just delve right on into it. So if you want to check it out, patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin. Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations. So if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you. And we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com.